You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to a very, very special Dishin' and Swishin' podcast this week on HoopFeed. As you know, we like to look at some of the games that are played each week. As last week, I hope you enjoyed my conversations with the Tinkle sisters as we previewed Stanford and Gonzaga. Well, tonight, up in Storrs, Connecticut, there's a top 10 battle between the University of Connecticut and Penn State. And we are using this opportunity to introduce to you something else that's going on with Dishin' and Swishin', and I'm pleased to welcome you for part of that announcement, the guru himself, Mel Greenberg. Mel, how are you today?
Pleased to be here, David. This reminds me of when you watch TV series that have been around for a while and successful, and then a whole new series launches off of it.
That's it. We're not part of Law and Order, thank God.
We're trying to bring Law and Order to all this stuff.
That's it. Well, what we're here to tell you about is the fact that Dishin' and Swishin' is adding another chapter, and we are pleased to bring you Dishin' and Swishin' Philly Style, and that will be under the guidance of the guru himself. Mel will be with me on this. And Mel, tell everybody a little bit about your new website that you're involved with, because it's an exciting adventure that I'm looking forward to being a part of.
Yeah, there's a guy in town here, Aaron Bracey. I knew Aaron way back in time when he was just a student on the student paper at St. Joseph's University in town here and doing men and women. And in later years, after he graduated, he would freelance women's games for AP when they were ranked. So we would cross paths. And, you know, he got deeply involved. As you know, in Philadelphia, there's a tremendous love among people in the college game with the Big Five. And, of course, the Big Five women became part of that in later years down the road, even though we have some history to it now. And, you know, Aaron would say, well, we should join forces one day. And his group is the Big Five and Drexel. And that became Philly Hoops. I said, okay, let's give it a shot. And then one day I thought, well, you know what? Here's something that could be different and a lot of fun because it's already working and it would be tremendous. So, you know, to speak to all you people listening, I just sent David a note and says, hey, would you be interested? I don't think we're stepping on the hoop feed toes any. You know, it's a way of enhancing both sides. And here we are, ready to go.
And I have always been a big proponent of the Philly cheesesteak. So the roots are laid for me in Philadelphia based on the love of food. And I'm looking forward to talking about Philly basketball, some A-10, touching into the Big Ten, the CAA, and all the areas down there. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we are really, really psyched to bring you the first podcast. And we are going to have this in two places this week. You're going to be able to find it on Philly Hoops W. And also, it's going to be this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoops. And that is because of the nature of the guests on a national and local scale this week. As I mentioned, we like to talk about games that are going on each week when they're big ones. And I'm pleased to bring to you this week our guest, Penn State coach Cokeys Washington. Mel, we had a great time talking with Coach Washington.
Yes, we did. And one little thing in my monologue that I forgot to say is I mentioned the six teams that they have, and one reason we can bring Cokeys in is it's the way I always ran things, even in my full-time employment days at the Inquirer on coverage, is that we're very intensive with Penn State being the state school and Rutgers being the state school, you know, in the following days. And Delaware over the years anyhow, even before the great coming of Elena Deladon. And, you know, in the last year or so, because they're doing such a good job and they're even closer to my house than the downtown is Princeton. So those are the 10. That's going to be the core. But we'll also, you know, as we go around the country, there are Philly people, as Cokeys will make some references, you know, when we did the interview, you have a lot of Philly people in the Big Ten. You have some another one who's soon to be in the Big Ten by virtue of the expansion deal. And so in some ways, Philly thing, remember it started here at Immaculata, enables us to branch out from the past, the present, the future, and everything. It should be fun for everybody. If everybody out there, you know, has some ideas we'd like to hear in the show, I know a lot of people follow me on Twitter and all there elsewhere, but say, you know, part of it is they want to keep tabs on what's going on in Philly besides all the national coverage.
So enjoy the podcast this week. I know you're going to love our interviews, and I know you're going to want to follow us in the future. Now, in the meantime, you know, this is going on Thursday this week, so coming up this weekend, any good games that you're going to be checking out?
Yeah, you know, as we go back and forth, and, you know, at the site there is a running calendar, so you can kind of see what's coming up. It's a big one in town on Saturday. Oh, and this, we have the third in the, you know, recently annual launched Big Five battles, and this one is a great one. Villanova goes to St. Joseph's. David, you're very familiar with Villanova because of the Big East. St. Joe, of course, got off to a great start. They got one slip where they, you know, Syracuse handled them well and then came back to town here and got handled by Temple last week, surprisingly. And but they beat Maryland. They beat Drexel in a fantastic game. They won it at the buzzer. And Drexel's playing very well. They might be one of the surprise teams in the country, let alone the CAA. They almost beat South Carolina last week. They were up 14 down there on Dawn Staley, to mention another Philly person. Should be a pretty good game. Harry's guys in Villanova, Harry Peretta, you know, are scoring a little more. Even though St. Joe graduated a bunch of people, we also in the summertime have a red-hot summer league that goes on, and both the Villanova kids, a lot of them, and a lot of the St. Joe kids play in that league, and they all had tremendous summers. And we've always seen in recent years that's a precursor of, you know, exactly how they might play. Sunday, probably be popping over to, you know, Madison Square Garden for the Maggie Dixon doubleheader, the local side of that, of course. Rutgers playing Louisiana Tech. Rutgers has been struggling a bit, but Rutgers... And, of course, this is nostalgic for La Tech because Teresa Weatherspoon, who played for many years with the New York Liberty in the WNBA, coming back now, coaching her alma mater. And, you know, a million years ago, Rutgers and La Tech, when La Tech was one of the top two or three teams in the country, that was a rivalry. So we have that one. So Duke is playing St. John's. Yeah, and, you know, St. John's just got hit with some injuries. Actually, Duke hasn't been exactly totally healthy, so that game will be interesting. This is a time where things slow down a bit, too. A lot of people are taking finals. Next week, though, I know we have, you know what? There's another game. I won't be Sunday, but it could be interesting because Princeton goes to Delaware, and we already know that Delaware, again, did not play in the Rhode Island game on Wednesday last night, and it's a day-to-day thing with the Lyme disease situation, unfortunately. So, you know, the hour of our taping, we don't know if she's playing or not playing, but it should be an interesting game anyhow. Delaware did have a nice win over St. Bonnie's without her last week. And, of course, Princeton coming over that tremendous upset of Rutgers last week, first time since 1976. As we said at the outset, we're looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. And... somehow we got through the first one, just like the old Cape Canaveral days. I think we're A-OK and we're off and running.
Absolutely. We've made it to the moon and back. No question about it. Mel, thank you very much for coming on, to introducing. And, you know, it is an absolute honor for me to have you as a partner in this endeavor to work with, you know, one of the greatest that's ever covered women's basketball. And we are going to have an absolute blast with this. And I'm looking forward to a lot of hours talking to different people for Philly basketball. Remember, Philly Hoops W and Hoop Feed is going to be the regular Dish and Tuition podcast. You'll still be able to find that each and every Thursday. And I'm looking forward to giving you a lot of the interviews you've been looking for there as well. Mel, have a good night.
You too, David, and have a great weekend.
Hi, this is Muffa McGraw, head coach of the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hey, everybody, this is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoop Feed. But we've got a little bit of diversity for you. We're changing things around, and we're proud to add on some new stuff. And You know, as you heard earlier, Mel Greenberg, the guru, and I are now involved in a second podcast, Dishin' and Swishin' Philly Style. And Mel is with me right now. Mel, how you doing today?
Doing great, David. You know, it's funny seeing you last night, you know, being up there a month ago. Explain how it was a blizzard in the early November and it was like summertime yesterday.
And I am pleased to have the very first Dishin' and Swishin' Philly Style guest, and that is the coach of the Penn State Lions. Coach Coquise Washington joins us now. Coach, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic.
Coach, the team is playing some great ball, sitting here at 6-1, top 10 ranking, big game coming up on Thursday night with the Huskies of Connecticut, a rematch, time to get back at them for that Sweet 16 game.
I don't know about a rematch. They added a few weapons since then, so it can't be a true rematch. But, you know, it'll be a fun game. You know, I love playing against the best teams in the country and challenging ourselves. And, you know, UConn is as good as it gets. And so it's going to be fun for us to go up there and play in such a storied environment and compete against one of the nation's best.
Well, Gamble Pavilion should be rocking, that's for sure. A little bit more of a home court advantage for UConn, as if they needed another dip, right?
Right. I don't know. I mean, shoot, when we played them in the NCAA tournament, that was felt like I was playing in Gamble Pavilion that night. So.
Well, let's talk about your team, and in particular, let's start with the matchup between the Pennsylvania Kids and Caroline Doty. Will be playing against her old high school teammate. You have got a player that is lighting it up this year in Maggie Lucas.
You know, Maggie Lucas is an incredible player. You know, she's just got an outstanding work ethic, and she shoots the ball so well. I mean, I don't know if there's a better pure shooter in the country, although, you know, UConn's got a pretty good one over in Kalina Lewis. But, you know, when you talk about those, you know, Kalina Lewis, Maggie Lucas, those types of shooters, they are really fun to coach. And, you know, Caroline and Maggie will certainly be playing for bragging rights and see who's going to add the next best tricks to their trick shot video competition as well.
Now, going back, who are the two of them when you back in the high school days in the area? Which of the two of them, before Doty's injuries and all, was the better talent, did you think?
Go ahead,
Mel.
I was just going to say, as you know, David, I got so many college teams getting around, I don't really get to see a lot of the high schools and know, but, you know, Doty was kind of a name, more than name. I'm not going to say necessarily she was more than talent, but the other reason she's more than name, because, remember, at the same time, Connecticut was recruiting Deladon, and they were AAU buddies. So You heard more of a Doty Deladon conversation down here, but, you know, the people that know, certainly, obviously the people that know, Penn State came in here and grabbed her, and the Lucas was a talent in her own right.
Coach, how big is it to get the local talent and keep it in state college?
Whenever you can get Pennsylvania kids, especially of Maggie's caliber, and keep them home, it's big, it's huge. I mean, you know, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia in particular, produces some of the nation's best players. And, you know, we want to make sure that they, you know, stay home and play for the blue and white, and, you know, and their hometown fans can get up here and see them play often.
Some big doings right there around the state college night now, too, huh? You know, the soccer team was right there, and the volleyball
team.
You know, I mean, things have got to be rocking on the campus.
We're enjoying it. We've had a great fall, and so far the winter's been pretty good. You know, the football team exceeded everybody's expectations. There are some fantastic football games here this fall. So, you know, the sports scene here at Penn State is doing very well.
No,
you know, you were talking the Philly roster, because you don't hear a lot of Ballard, but she got some time Sunday. Talk about Taya East a little bit.
Yeah, Talia East is another kid out of Philly. Who's on our roster. She's a post player for us. We call her the beast, you know, because she's our enforcer kind of. She comes in and, you know, she plays big and strong, and she's a physical post player. You know, she's a good rebounder, and a great defender. And so we're expecting big things out of her as well.
Now, her game, now she's been really evolving as a post, as has Nikki Green. Now, Nikki's been playing big, but she's only playing about 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate this Thursday with the post combinations that Gino's been throwing out there needing a lot more out of them this week?
Absolutely. I don't think we've played a team yet this year that has the number and the quality of posts that UConn throws at us. So we're going to need Nikki to be able to play more than half the game. But, you know, we've got some depth there as well. But, you know, our posts have got to show up, and they've got to play big. They've got to play, be competitive. They've got to play physical. They've got to match certainly the intensity and the energy of the UConn post players.
Now, ironically, in that last game against FDU, you brought in the three guard starting lineup right before having to play them. But Dara Taylor is also a very unique talent in her own right. Maryland certainly could use her right now with the
Dara's speed is something that, you know, you can't see enough of. And so that's what we're looking for, having her in the starting lineup, bringing that speed, another quality ball handler on the floor. You know, we like to play up tempo, and she certainly adds to the pace of the game for us when she's on the floor.
And, of course, at the same time, we've got to mention Alex Bentley, who has done such a great job, you know, handling the ball and handling expectations. She's a senior now, and, you know, it's really going to take that combination, all three of those guards, with the pressure that UConn's defense puts out there.
Yeah, they do a great job of pressing, and, you know, they're pressing more this year than they have than they did last year. And certainly when you've got the depth that they have with their recruiting class, with their freshman class, and, you know, you got the talent that they have, they can rotate a lot of bodies. I mean, they play 10 people, 10 minutes or more a game, and their quality 10 minutes as well. So they've got a lot of depth, and, you know, they put that pressure on you and try to squeeze you right from the beginning of the game. So hopefully having that speed in the backcourt with Dara Taylor will help us in the press.
You pick up the phone and call the head of the coaching tree, Coach Muffin, and she's played enough times against this group and said, you know, what can you throw at me this year for some tips?
Well, you know, maybe any other normal week, but you know, they got something, you know, they got a little game brewing tomorrow night, so I think she's worried about Baylor, and she's letting me handle this one on my own.
David, you created a great segue for something to go in the local mix, you know, Coquise, when you came to Penn State, an outsider or somebody in our part of the country, it's just a Notre Dame person, you know, coming over to this side of the world. But the reality is, obviously, as a former Irish star player, you played for Muffet, and Muffet was a Philly kid, so the whole Philly culture talk is nothing new to you.
Right.
First of all, what kind of drew you to Notre Dame, and then how much did you know of a Philly style growing up and seeing her, and how much did you see that, like, Philly background reflected in your days in South Bend?
Oh, man, that's all we heard was Philly this, Philly cheesesteaks, tasty cakes. Every time we played in Philly every year when I was a player for Coach McGraw, she took us back. We played St. Joe's. We were playing Temple. We played everywhere. So all we heard about was Philly, Philly, Philly. So Muff got me groomed on Philly and Pennsylvania. And so coming to Penn State, it was, you know, it was fun. It's been fun. And you know, I can't speak highly enough of Coach McGraw and the influence that she's had on me as a coach, as a person, as a mom, as a working mom, a coaching mom. She's just been a special, special person in my life, and I can't speak highly enough of the impact she's had on me.
You know, as much as we were just talking, David mentioned about you reaching out to Muffet. On the crossover here in the Atlantic 10, of course, because of LaSalle, St. Joe, and Temple, we'll see, actually, in the new age, Temple won't play him this year, but Jonathan, who succeeded you, Jonathan Sippis, is now the head coach of George Washington. I'm sure as he made that step up, you know, and he probably reached out to you the same way that you had to go through this several years ago. What advice did you give him as a new head coach?
I told him I told him the second year is harder than the first year, so don't think it's going to lighten up until about year three or four. So he kind of laughed at that. He was like, no. I was like, yeah, it gets worse before it gets better. But the one thing that Coach McGraw did is she prepared us very well to become head coaches by the training that she gave us at Notre Dame. And so I think Jonathan will do a great job at GW. I know he's prepared. I know Coach McGraw's prepared him to take on that role and to be very successful as the head coach at GW. So he's in good shape.
I know I was down there a couple of weeks ago. The first thing he said was, one of the nice things about being a head coach is you don't have somebody walking in front of you when you're trying to watch what's going on out there. You're part of the game plan.
Yeah, you actually get to see the game. The worst seat in the house is to be an assistant coach. You only see half the game.
Unless you were Keith Brown over at Georgetown, because then he just stood up and pushed everybody else out of the way, too. You know, Coach, one of the things you mentioned that year two is harder than year one. You know, it brings to mind, and I have to ask the question, is you've gone to a school where, man, you just keep finding problems that cloud the landscape while you're doing these great things. I mean, first you came in amongst some clouds and some shadows, and then, of course, everything that went on last year. Yet you have kept the team. I'm so impressed with the way that the team has continued to march forward and never has hesitated, and there hasn't been a blip in recruiting or anything. It speaks volumes to the job that you and your staff have done.
Well, thank you. And I would echo the job that that our staff has done here. Kia Damon and Fred Schmiel and Martin Walseth, you know, they've been incredible. And through everything that's gone on, they've been very focused. And Martin Walseth, her passion for Penn State, you know, she's helped me to understand what Penn State is, what being a Penn Stater means. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to have her here on my side. Maureen Walseth played on our Final Four team in 2000. So having her being able to help me understand this university, this athletic department, and this program has been crucial. But we just try to, you know, not get caught up in everything that's going on. We just focus on doing what we can do and control what we can control, and try to be a program where we love each other, we care for each other, we take care of each other, and we just go about being the best for each other that we can be, and we let everything else take care of itself, and that seemed to work for us so far.
You know, the other question that I have, though, is, you know, you look through the list of the Big Ten now, and you add your new members, Rutgers and Maryland, there, and say, are you just going to toss Jim Foster and the rest of the old guys out? I mean, between you and Urey and Michigan State, and now Barnes-Arico is in there, and now you're really bringing it in if you're bringing CVIV in.
Right.
I said, this has become the women's coaching circle.
Oh, man. Well, I think Jim Foster, he's got a few more tricks up his sleeve. He knows how to hold his own, that's for sure, in a room full of women. He does a good job. Yep. He brings in, you know, Mel, I'm sure you know this, Jim's a big wine guy. So when we have our meetings, you know, he'll bring in a bottle of wine and, you know, kind of ease the tension. So he's a smart man.
You know, when all that was coming down a couple of weeks ago, I joked with some people here and some people that can go way back, even for your time. And I said, I got a great name to put them all together. In fact, I think I even talked to Joe McCune over at Northwestern. And I said, I had two suggestions. Number one, why don't you just call it AIAW-Region 1B? Or, you know how you play those challenges? You were just in one. It didn't go the right way. The only blip so far. But I had another idea in there that we can have a, considering who all is in your world over there now, that we can have a challenge with the conference back here, and it could be A-10 versus A-10 Classic.
That's a good one, Mel.
You know, I think
you know, I mean, there's
I want to go back a little bit to another phase of your life, because you never know things will work out. Once upon a time, you played in the WNBA, and you were president of the Players Association. You look at how it's all evolved at all. Is that a job you're glad you don't have to be doing today?
Oh, man. The WNBA, I'm so glad that it's still around, first of all. When I played in, obviously in the early years, and we weren't sure that it would, that it would sustain. And so just to see it still being viable and college players are having this opportunity to play professionally and extend their careers, their playing careers, I'm just thrilled that's what's come out of all of this. I don't know that I could play in the league now. The point guards are too tall, man. They will be posting me up all day.
You just don't want to drive.
That was going to be just my other question. What you see different about the league today, that's the way you played. I guess you just touched on a bit of it. Anything else in general, from your time?
I mean, the players are better. I mean, certainly the players are better. They're more athletic. They're more talented. The depth on every team, is a little bit better. Not every team, obviously. There's some teams out there that need a little bit of help. But, when you just look at the players, you look at a player like Candace Parker, there wasn't a player like her, when we first started playing. The players are better. They're more the coaching, I think, has gotten better, over the course of the seasons. The game is evolving. I'm just a fan of the game, and I'm a person that can appreciate the growth and the development of the players in the game. I still like watching those old school classics, though, because Cynthia Cooper, man, she was fun to watch and fun to play with and against, and so was Lisa Leslie, and I just think back, and I'm fortunate I got to play with some of the world's best players, but I get to watch some of the world's best players now, and I'm enjoying it all. I'm enjoying that the league is still around and the game is continuing to evolve.
Yes, I know they're right now. We'll see what comes out. They're having their league meetings, and usually within a week you get some new wangle that they're going to do next summer. people may not be paying attention to right now because we're all busy in the colleges, and then the season starts, and then it's like, where'd that come from? League meetings, that's where.
Coach, working with the kids is really, you're really still a teacher. And coaching in the pros, while there's some teaching, it's a lot more dealing with you're dealing with grown women.
Right.
And, when they dealt with when talking with Coach Ariema after USA Basketball, he talked about how, he had the time to teach his system to the kids. And with the Olympic team, it was more a situation of trying to adapt himself to them.
Right.
That's something as a coach. Not saying that, we're not looking beyond Penn State. We don't want anybody to get nervous. But is that something that you could see being a totally different area? Are you really just happy being a teacher and wouldn't want to do something like that?
I am extremely happy being a teacher. I think there's certainly different challenges, between being a professional and a college coach. And I love the connection and the impact that you have on the young lives. You don't have quite that impact, or you might not quite have quite that impact when you're dealing with professionals. It's possible, but not always, because again, you're dealing with adults and sometimes fully formed adults. You're coaching women with children, or people who are married, and the impact that you may have on them might not be as as profound and as immediate. So I like being able to mentor and have that kind of impact that I have. And so it's a different challenge, and I enjoy the challenge that I have right now coaching in college.
Well, Coach, as we try and go back to the beginning and wrap this up, so tell us about the challenge on Thursday. What are we going to see on Thursday night? Give us your prediction as to what has to happen for the game to be as good as I think it's going to be.
Well, I think you'll see two up-tempo teams. You know, they like to get up and down the floor, and so do we. So we've got to put the ball in the basket a little bit better than we did last spring. But, you know, hopefully it's a high-scoring affair, and it's a game that fans will enjoy watching play. Certainly when you watch UConn play, they're a team that plays great fundamental basketball. They share the ball well. They're a good defensive team, and, you know, hopefully we'll give them a good game, and it'll be a game that fans will enjoy watching.
Yeah, you sit there and you look at some of the video. Not too many freshmen with the skill set that Breanna Stewart brings to the game.
Yeah, that kid is pretty special, man. She is pretty special. That's what I mean about, you know, players getting better. She's going to be another one who's going to be in the WNBA pretty soon, doing some pretty incredible things, dunking the ball and shooting threes, you know, as a la Dirk Nowitzki. You know, when you look at her and Elena Deladon and Brittany Griner, I mean, the WNBA, the future is really bright when you look at the talent that's poised to join the league in the next few years.
No.
Okay, and by part, we may be saying goodbye here, but we're not saying adios, as you know. down here, we consider you national in my dual life and local. So when you get back into the Big Ten later on, maybe we'll do a little wrap around and get Foster on without the wine. Although if we want wine, we'll certainly have Joe on the phone because we can hear plenty of it. And
you know, I was trying not to go there when you said the wine, but
anytime, guys, anytime. I'd love to be back. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you Thursday.
All right, take care.
Good luck, Coach, and thank you.